Welcome to the TV show Show. My name's Rob Schulte, and I'm here with my co-host,
Brittany. Hi.
And Brittany, today is a special day because it's the beginning of season three of the TV show Show. Oh, keep the woos coming.
Woo!
Woo!
It's more like, what?
You have a plaque in your house that says woo.
Do I?
Well, maybe it says wee woo.
Sure. Yeah, wee woo.
The letters
Does
are interchangeable.
Does it say WeWork? Is it you live in a WeWork?
Yes! You're not supposed to tell them. It's against the rules. I live in a WeWork. Okay, everybody knows.
All right. Guest today is Ben Harrison from Friendly Fire, the greatest discovery and greatest generation. You might have heard him on Pumpkin Spice Podcast last season. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
He just called me out for living at the WeWork.
I didn't realize I was calling you out. I was just speculating.
Yeah, well.
Well, what's WeWork about? It's about hacking the system.
Yeah.
Right?
It's about lattes in your office.
Black t-shirts, business casual.
There's a famous story about a guy that was like an intern. He was like a summer intern at AOL back in the day. And then he got let go, but his employee badge kept working. And he just lived at AOL for like 3 months while he coded the software for his startup.
Oh,
which
wow.
He then like monetized and made a bunch of money.
What? That's a success story if I ever heard one.
And he went on to start WeWork.
Yeah, right.
WeWoo.
Yeah. So he developed the critical software that enables WeWork to exist.
Hey,
that enables us to rent office space.
Yeah.
Until they don't want us to have it anymore.
And give out free beer sometimes.
But only sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, it's season three.
It is.
And luckily, we're not at a WeWork right now. We will be afterwards because, as stated, you live there. But we should probably talk on another satisfying topic, which is television.
I thought you were going to say coronavirus. Leave it out. Leave it out.
Brittany.
Edit it out.
I soaked these microphones in Listerine.
Okay.
Because that's what an engineer told me to do once. Now, it works.
They were working.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you sick?
No.
That's why our voices sound so minty.
Yes.
Ben, you brought a pretty great episode to the table today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What made you choose this? It's Third Rock
from
the Sun.
You made me choose it.
Okay. Blink twice.
Hey.
Why was it? Yes.
You said an episode that has stuck with you for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I was like a medium Third Rock from the Sun fan when it was on. It was like, it's one of those shows where you like look back on it and you're like, this was like one of the shows that was on NBC when Seinfeld was also
yes.
on. When Seinfeld ended its run, they were like, what's going to go in that magic slot on the Thursday night lineup? And it was between Third Rock from the Sun and I think Frasier.
Uh-huh.
And I think Frasier won.
I believe so.
And
I think we can all agree Frasier won. Am yeah. I right?
I was outraged personally. Okay. That's where I was coming from. I did not care for Frasier. I was a medium Third Rock from the Sun fan. And I was like, if something can replace Seinfeld, it is surely the excellent television program that it is, that is Third Rock from the Sun.
Well, you liked Lithgow from the theater, though.
I love Lithgow. I mean, Lithgow carries this episode as I'm sure he carried all episodes.
It's why the only season of Dexter to watch is season four.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
Well, Lithgow's in it. Sorry. 10 years ago.
Hello. Dexter Morgan.
That's why the only Stallone movie to watch is Cliffhanger.
Exactly!
So
this particular episode stuck out because Third Rock stuck out, and then I think I have a feeling I know why Hotel Dick.
The only reason I picked this episode, the content I found when I rewatched it to prepare for today was surprisingly on brand for me, but the only reason I remembered it was I remembered the part where French Stewart says, sci-fat.
Oh, it's so good.
Sci-fat.
Room service.
Yes.
Sci-fat. We were maybe practicing all of these lines on the way here.
But we weren't.
In my head.
No.
Sci-fi was the thing that made me pick this episode, and I'm ashamed to admit that.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I had not seen Third Rock from the Sun since probably primetime.
Yeah, same.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you have any overall vibes from this episode, Britt?
From the episode itself?
Like, before even watching it, did you like...
I don't remember watching this one back in real time, as they say. But I do remember liking the show, medium size. Like, I wasn't committed to it, but if it was on, you remember the 90s.
I remember JGL or Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
Boy, that hair, right?
I know, the hair. It was just like, is that a wig? No, it's not, but it's sheesh.
Well, speaking of JGL, how about we hit record?
Oh, and start this episode. Have you not been recording this whole time?
We are, but you know, the actual, let's get into the episode.
Can you imagine?
Okay, I'll start us off. It's scene one, and the family is leaving the movie theater. They had just seen a movie called, what, Alien?
Dawn of the Aliens.
Yeah.
Real creative.
Yes. The poster was magnificent.
Yeah.
Now, would you call them a family? I feel like they're just like a group of co-working aliens. Speaking of WeWorking, co-working aliens.
Yeah.
They have a co-working space.
I think family is their cover, but they all have like ranks and specialties.
Yes. Yeah.
So within them, maybe not a family.
Yeah.
But right. they're like the Americans.
Right.
Sure.
Got it.
They come out of the movie theater and the laugh track immediately comes in super hot. Did you notice that? It was like they just walked out of the theater and people, they're like, ah. Oh my God.
Aliens are not like that.
Aliens are not like that.
I mean, I'm shocked that this is a season two episode. This feels like the pilot. Like,
I know.
Like the jokes feel like the pilot of a show.
And spoiler alert, they don't grow much from that.
Yeah. Like, do they not?
I don't know. So like,
wonder what the season finale is like.
They probably head home.
Oh God. Okay.
Or I'm throwing it out there. Listeners, let me know if I'm right or wrong, because I'm not going to watch the rest of this show. They decide Earth is their home.
I think Shatner winds up being their boss.
Whoa. Their dad? I think you're right.
Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's the big giant head.
He's the big giant head.
Oh, that's right.
I love this planet already.
Moving on. So we go to the credits. It's got
spoiler
the fun.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Speaking of.
Brilliant television show for all the kids at home.
Well, I love the first scene that it's like spoiler alert without the, you know, name of it.
Right.
Like at the time in 1996 or whenever, we didn't know about spoiler alerts, but like he's standing in front of the crowd of people waiting to watch the movie and he explains the plot of the movie.
And there's even like something else, like Sally says like, I don't care, I don't know you.
Hey, do you mind? We haven't seen the movie yet.
What do I care? I don't even know you.
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, wait, yeah. If I spoil something, I don't know you.
Yeah.
She unlocked it back in the day.
Yeah. It's the truth.
The next scene takes place in Dick's office. He's a professor of some sort. Do you remember, Ben?
Professor of anthropology.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He's studying
very on the nose.
Humans.
Cultural anthropology is probably what it is.
Yeah.
He's a little upset.
He's on the phone complaining to the film critic who wrote like a rave review for the Alien movie. And he's like, it is not interesting. It did not have me on the edge of my seat.
It was not wham bam. It was not a slam dunk. I was never on the edge of my seat. And the special effects did not make my eyes pop out.
He's a bit of a pedant in this one.
I like that he's taking his complaint to the critic and not the studio that made the movie. Kill the messenger, why don't you, Dick?
Yeah.
Well, their assistant, Nina, comes in and she liked the movie. Mary, who also shares the office with Dick and is in a relationship with Dick.
Romantic.
Also liked the movie.
This is definitely like a Sam and Diane thing that they just got out of the way in the first season. Like, they will, and it's season two, and they are.
And here it is.
Yeah.
It does a weird thing where he's like, no, aliens aren't like that. And it's like, who is this for? Like, it's painted for the audience, obviously, but it's like the same level of joke written for like contextual situations and exposition.
Yeah.
Sure.
There was something I was wondering if I was missing also when Nina says the thing about like, if I'm going to spend $7 for a movie, the alien better eat the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes like, woo!
Yeah!
And I was hell
like,
yeah!
Like, was there a puppy eating meme in the popular culture at the time, or
memes?
Maybe the Taco Bell dog was a thing at the time. No, that's a stretch.
We didn't eat the Taco Bell dog when it was. Like, but remember when movie theater tickets were $7? That's what I was saying. Woo!
Yeah, it was.
That's like one of those things where you like hear the national average movie ticket price and it's still like $8 and you're like, where? Like,
what dollar theater is charging $8?
How dare they?
We go back to the attic, which is where the whole family lives in like what a two-bedroom attic. Also, giant attic. It's got a kitchen.
It has got a bird cage.
It's like the Full House attic.
Yeah. I think it came decorated.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because they're renting it.
Justin Gordon Love with his hair.
Ooh. He's sitting there, and French Stewart comes running in. French has got a flyer.
His name's Harry.
Oh, yeah. Well, French Stewart's character, Harry, comes running in.
And you have
in.
To make the face while you're describing anything that he says or does.
He's like, I got this.
Okay, he's bad. Never mind.
Flyer, he's got a flyer for a sci-fi convention. And
Cleveland sci-fi convention, right?
Shows us where we're at, right? They're not traveling too far.
Right.
The Cleveland sci-fi convention is going to have George Takei at it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty exciting. But I think the bigger thing here, Brittany, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Ben, feel free. That they feel like this is where they can let everyone know that aliens aren't bad because these people love aliens.
Right.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe that. Okay. What about you, Dr. Ben?
I think that they're, like the movie theater setup was so that they could have an excuse to be more curious about the way we depict aliens in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's probably a more accurate read.
Dick comes in and is getting ready to spill the beans to Mary that he, in fact, is an alien.
It's trouble of conscience.
Yeah.
Like,
this becomes kind of a problematic through line because it starts to, I guess they sort of established this at the movie theater, but it starts to be a gay pride joke.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's so, I don't know. It's weird because it goes like one step too long. Not that it's even crossing too many lines because it's so badly written.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You get tired of it pretty quick.
I loved it.
Go on.
Dick and Sally practice the conversation between Mary and Dick, and they accidentally kiss passionately.
Hello, Mary.
Dick. You look handsome today.
And you look more beautiful than ever.
I love that moment.
I thought it was great. It really showed their commitment to the bit.
Mm-hmm,
But I also don't see why Joseph Gordon-Levitt and
Harry French Stewart,
Harry
French alien, the third.
Anyway, they get really grossed out about it, but they're not actually family.
Yeah.
So.
But they're really close coworkers.
Yeah, it's like if your boss and your secretary kiss.
Be like if Ben and Adam kiss, like in front of you. Just as part of a
but
bit.
But we do all the time.
Well then think of somebody else.
Okay, got it. Okay. Thinking of them right now. Everyone says, Dick, you cannot tell Mary that you are an alien. And they're like, he's like, guess what? I'm the boss. I override you. We're going to the con and I'm telling her I'm an A. And it quickly cuts to the hotel room and they're all at the convention.
The Mary coming to the sci-fi convention conveniently hand wave past.
Yep. Like, next, they've got one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, French Stewart, and Sally. I'm never calling them by their names. I'm terrible at this. I'm sorry, everyone. They get a room all to themselves. And Mary and Dick get a room all to themselves.
Sally, Harry, and Tommy, they're just really taking in what a hotel room is. Like, why do I have this immediate urge to trash this place?
Look at this tiny bottle I found in the bathroom. Evidence of a superior race of tiny people.
So it's just like, are they human at heart? You know what I mean? Like,
it's almost like humanity is melting into their alienness. Yeah.
Somehow the skin suits affect their behavior a little bit.
Yeah.
Ugh. But it's that bunch of fish out of water jokes, the little tiny bottle of shampoo, conditioner combination, the mini bar.
Oh, man.
I mean, aren't those perplexing things?
Yeah, and then there's
like it is scenes like this that you write this series for, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like, well, the first time they encounter money, how confused are they going to be?
Who's this? Yeah.
But that is the fun of the show, and it like this whole episode gives a reason to do certain things like that in the hotel room, but I want more con, so we should probably figure out what's going on, but no. Before we get to the convention,
Rob needs to direct this episode, like recut it to be
I get a little
suiting
worked
your
up.
Needs.
I get worked up. I'm so sorry.
I love that in the other hotel room with Dick and Mary, Dick is pouring the Moët Chandon like it's Andre. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like... Yeah.
That bed is going to have a big wet spot, and yeah. It's not from the...
alien stuff.
What stuff... Sorry. Moving on. But it's another fun fish out of water, like, say when... And
can I just say that, like... One thing that I was super conscious of while watching this episode was how much everybody touches their face.
Oh, yeah, God. Especially now.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know why. Like, there wasn't a pandemic then.
No, and also, the camera's not close enough that you have to display something most of these times.
Right.
I think in this situation, it's pretty important that Dick tries to say that he's an alien, but Mary cuts him off, letting him know that she, too, was in a clinic.
Yeah.
Which, when I first heard that, I was like, is that, what is that? In the context of the time, like, what is...
And with how Dick acts, I think we're led to, at least I'm led to think that it would be some sort of, like, mental institution.
Right.
Right. It's a very strange scene. It's like that television trope of admitting something because you think somebody's on to you.
Yeah. Yes.
And...
I do it all the time.
And they're not actually.
Wait, you guys didn't know that?
No.
Oh, never mind.
She admits something that we are not capable of decoding for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if the lexicon has changed surrounding what clinic implies.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't imagine that it was a weight loss clinic.
Yeah.
Well, and my partner thought it was a woman's clinic. And like, I'm not even.
You've
like,
also been to a women's clinic?
No, but I was watching.
I'm being married. Yeah,
oh, yes, Mary.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes. Verb, the vocab has changed.
Maybe, or maybe it's just badly written.
Yeah. She's an alien.
Yeah, good call.
We
good
haven't
call.
Watched the whole series. We don't know.
So now Dick's in a bit more of a pickle. How is he going to get himself out of this one?
I don't know, because we go back to Harry, Sally, and Tommy.
We're
just
not
feel like I'm just making up names. We're still haven't gone to the convention.
Ben, were you thinking we would see a convention
is
at this
Tom,
point?
Is it Tom, Dick, and Harry? Is that their name?
Yeah, it is.
Fun.
Tom, just like Dick, Harry, Mary, and Tommy and Sally.
Sidebar, I just realized on this episode of Survivor I was watching the other day, there's an alliance of Ben, Adam, and Rob.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
We couldn't have planned it better.
Rob feels like he needs to be in control at all times.
They voted Brittany out. Just kidding, there was no Brittany.
Never is.
But yeah, I thought there'd be more con at this point.
Yeah, no, because they rush out the door to go to the con, and then we're back to Dick and Mary.
Hotel Dick. See, French is like dead set. Harry is dead set on getting there.
Yeah. Don't you see? I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to take a stand. To protest how the rest of the world is treating our kind.
What are you going to be? The alien Martin Luther King?
Yeah. I don't know. My note says that it's like seems like it's really easy for them to point out all of the foibles they're going through if someone who actually works at the hotel, like with the room service or like everything they're getting confused, would just tell them like, oh, no, see, and then we bill you at the end of the day.
Right.
But
that wouldn't be a funny television episode.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have.
Up front?
Yeah, but see, I love explaining jokes.
We're breakfast at the hotel room with Dick and Mary.
Yes.
Mary's
yes.
like, okay, I'll tell you my deep, dark secret.
I want to say Jane Curtin is great, by the way.
Oh, she's amazing.
And the Coneheads joke that's in this episode, yeah. Subtle.
I know. Was it really so, subtle?
It
hit me
pretty...
over the Conehead. Okay.
See, it's coming out that I don't understand how humor works.
But, now we find out.
Yeah. They're going over it. She's explaining more about the weight loss clinic that she was in.
Yeah.
Well, she went to fat camp.
Yes.
It's just a solid 5 minutes of real B-minus mid-90s TV
yes.
fat jokes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My parents just made it worse.
It really, as a fat young man, hard to laugh at this scene. As an adult who's moderate, still hard to laugh at this scene. Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't be on TV today.
No, not at all. Like yeah.
Unless it was like the Tim Allen...
Oh, well, in that case.
Yeah. The new one.
Right.
That was terrible.
Sally comes in and tells Mary to, like, she's like, go to the bathroom, go freshen up or something. I need to talk to Dick. Who would stand for that?
Yeah. If your partner's brother or sister came over and saw you in, like, your underwear, yeah. and was like, hey,
clear out.
Clear out. I got to talk to my bro in his underwear.
That would be upsetting.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be in a relationship after that. They'd probably leave me.
Yeah, they.
Who?
Dick and Sally have a back and forth, and obviously Sally's in the camp. I mean, because they just are reiterating over and over, like, don't tell her you're an alien. He's like, I really want to.
What is the tension in this episode?
It's very unclear to me.
The stakes are staying plateaued.
Guess what, though? Next scene.
After the break. We're going to the con. We're finally at the sci-fi con.
Praise him. And by him, I mean George Takei. You know what I mean.
Yeah. I liked seeing like actual identifiable sci-fi franchise imagery in this. Like, there's a spaceship from Independence Day. There's like guys in TNG uniforms. It's like actual sci-fi con stuff. It's not made up TV bullshit.
There's the Coneheads.
Yeah, the Coneheads. To say nothing of the Coneheads.
I wonder if they have the rights to that, or if this is a looser period of time. Or
the 90s were a weird time, guys.
That's true.
Coneheads is NBC, but Star Trek isn't.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, let's not get this episode canceled, everyone.
That's not what's going to get this episode canceled. Yeah.
I love that Dick tries to be like, well, you know, aren't we all aliens? And he gives this great metaphor in his head just to explain himself.
I mean, we emerge from weightless environments, seeing everything for the first time with curious new eyes.
But it's more of this like beautiful thing that we watch as an audience that Jane Curtin cuts the legs out under. And it's like, you can think all you want about that. I'm getting to space churros. Yeah.
It's a fine exit to the scene, but it kind of fucks up the logic because she's just before that, like saying, like basically taking a professional interest in the anthropological benefits of looking at these people that like
and yet
enjoy their fandom.
We're all shaking our heads. You can't hear it. But
this is a hit TV show at the time.
Yeah.
I thought you meant this.
This podcast is a hit from start to finish.
Oh.
I think this show went for 8 seasons. Maybe it grows and the writing team grows with it. Who knows?
Who knows?
This is a great scene. Sally is dragging a hotel employee into the hotel room. She's freaking out. Mm-hmm. She's like, look at this place. It's clean. Bed
I trashed
is made.
This motherfucker.
I trashed this place and now it's clean. I know I didn't do it. And he's like, yeah.
She found that the door tag that says please clean room earlier and interpreted that to mean that she had to clean the room.
Yes.
This is one of the ways the show plays with gender roles.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's weird how the gender roles get played with in this awkward way, but like much harder in other episodes, I remember. But also they try and do the same thing with like Harry being an idiot.
Yeah.
And
oh, he's an idiot.
Tommy being a young horny boy.
Super horny. Oh,
but like, so I don't think all of those things are on the same playing field when you're making jokes about them.
Well, no, can't be.
But they learn about the room service and they're going to use the room service.
Room service.
Room service.
She orders 10 turkey sandwiches.
Now you say room service.
Room service.
Now you say room service.
Room service.
I want another try because you guys like really blew me out of the water. Room service.
Wow.
I need eye contact. I'm so sorry I did that. That's not a lot.
Hey, we finally see George Takei.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's great. He's doing some weird kind of just saying the most famous thing from Star Trek, even though it's not necessarily his thing.
Yeah.
I had a couple of questions about that. He just, first thing on stage, live long and prosper, everyone.
And he's got both hands in Vulcan salutes, just like waving to the crowd with them like, that's a thing you do.
Live long and prosper.
Just selling out in every way possible.
That's the only way I hope you and Adam take the stage from now on.
I hope the only way we get hecklers from now on is by actual aliens in our audience telling us we're living a lie.
Just like the scene.
Yeah, just like the scene.
Oh my gosh.
Harry's like, you're perpetuating a negative alien stereotype, which is very like common in our like
current day.
Yes.
Security hath not an alien eyes.
Ben, this is your favorite part of the episode.
Long live sci-fi.
Screw sci-fi. Instead, We should embrace science fact. Sci-fam.
Harry, let's go.
Long live Sci-fam.
Okay, once again, we're finally away from this silly sci-fi convention. Yeah. We're back to where we need to be.
We didn't have the budget to have four extras walking around in costumes for very long.
Yeah.
We're in the hotel. And lots of Sally room service.
They are milking this courtyard by Marriott for all it's worth.
Lots of massages.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I think it was missing was a big fat stogie being smoked by someone in the room because you could do that in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Dick feels bad, though, that he just can't come clean. But we cut to a scene where he's just staring at himself in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
He's giving himself a pep talk.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
It's like every morning at my house.
And he commits to the thing we're all thinking this episode.
Deceiving the person you love for the sake of a mission. Look at you. You're gorgeous.
He's a confident man. Mm-hmm. And we all like him.
The fucking hubris.
Yeah.
Fucking hubris.
Mary comes out of the bathroom just like a Princess Leia and Madonna kind of like
I thought she
combination.
Yeah, or like the lady who lived on the moon in Power Rangers.
Oh, maybe that's who it's supposed to be.
Rita Repulsa?
Yes!
Oh! I think it is a bullshit, non-specific sci-fi getup.
Aunt with Madonna boobs.
It's probably like what the character of Mary would try and whip up.
Yeah. Anthropology. Yeah. She's like, I have an understanding of humans.
I believe it was Chekhov that said when a character on a sitcom walks out in a cone bra in the first act, she's going to stab somebody with her boobs in the third act.
Woo! And you wouldn't be wrong.
Because that's what happens after she starts role-playing with Dick. And this offers Dick some catharsis.
Yeah.
But does he know that she's role-playing?
I questioned this at first.
We're getting really deep into Third Rock from the Sun.
I think he, at this point, in his time as a human, understands that she is role-playing and that this is the only way he's going to be able to tell her.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
Hmm.
What about you, Ben?
I think he's naive. I guess the problem with this read is that then they would have to resolve that later. And he would have to find out that she's not, in fact, an alien. Or he would have to believe she's also an alien in all subsequent episodes.
Yeah, that's so true.
Which I doubt they did.
And this doesn't have your clean sitcom reboot at the end either.
Right.
What do you think, Britt?
I don't believe he thinks she knows what's happening.
So we're all relatively thinking the same.
I've come down on the Rob side of this.
Okay. Listeners, let us know what you think. Cone bra is the hashtag.
Mm.
But this gets us pretty close to the end. You know,
it's a pretty racy end of this scene when he pulls the bra off her. Like,
yes! That's,
for like 90s primetime TV, that's like as close to a hand has ever come to a boob, right?
Yeah.
Until JT at the Super Bowl. And
don't know what that... Oh, you mean...
Justin Timberlake.
I guess that was probably like 2006.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on, 10 years after this episode...
That was when America found out about boobs for real.
That's what they look like.
My salsa.
Yes.
Brittany, the three receive their bill in their room.
Oh, Sally and the gang.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I loved, though, the guy hands them the bill and she points to the paper and she's like, I wonder what that is. And he's like, maybe the population of Cleveland?
Yeah, here's a piece of paper with that. But you get to say that when you're an alien.
Yeah.
You don't just get to be
a fish out of water. You don't know what anything is.
I don't know. It could be anything.
Your world frightens and confuses me.
But then, with the help of a magnetic strip from the key card to the room, a telephone, and a shower cap.
Yes.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the smart one, Tommy, the young one.
The horny one.
Is going to get them out of this mess.
Because he
MacGyver-like.
Yes, he's supposed to be like super smart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't really show it in this episode.
I think
he's like engineering smart.
Ooh.
You know, like
he's making life-saving inventions out of household materials.
Yeah. He's gonna have a YouTube page soon.
Oh, good.
And then we get a fun little thing at the end where all of that money has been placed on George Takei's bill.
Mm-hmm. $3,000? Well, I can obviously afford it. I'm a famous actor. Oh, wait, it's $30,000?
On three, everyone. One, two, three. Oh,
what the heck?
My.
Oh.
Oh my.
It's like we got him to say two other famous things.
Yes.
It's a rule of threes.
It's like you're reading my mind right now. Yeah. Man, so overall, I would
did
like,
you guys watch the credits?
The
though?
Credits, the credits.
Did I?
The credits roll.
Oh, I did. I wrote George post credits, LOL, but I forgot.
Great notes, Rob.
I know.
Why don't you take us through, Ben?
It's just him going line by line through the through the itemized receipt and disagreeing with the fact that he got seven massages.
Mm-hmm. How could I get seven massages? Do I look relaxed? Do I?
Then he gets caught. Stealing a towel.
A single towel.
He had only two Toblerones.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a lot of Toblerone. But I guess over the course of a con.
Who are you to judge?
I'm not. Sorry, George.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. You're getting probably a $25,000 appearance fee. Yeah.
That's true.
He's still $5,000 out.
And yeah. Like, he didn't have to wear any makeup.
That's true.
So yeah. That's good. Boy, was this a nonstop thrill ride from start to finish. I love this rocket ship of an episode. How about you, Britt?
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Pshaw. That's the sound of a rocket ship taking off. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say vroom vroom, but that's not the sound.
We're not in our mom's car.
No, I'm not in me mom's car.
Ben, thanks for being on the TV show.
Thank you. It was really nice to watch something that was 22 minutes.
Yeah!
That's What's that like?
I watch a lot of shit that's an hour for my podcasts. And
what are those podcasts
again?
Let
in case you got new listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Give
us
a shakedown.
I host several podcasts. I host The Greatest Generation and The Greatest Discovery. Those are both about Star Trek. Greatest Generation about old Star Trek. Greatest Discovery about contemporary Star Trek. And Greatest Discovery is produced and edited by Rob Schulte.
That's me.
And I also host a show called Friendly Fire, which is about old war movies and the history and kind of cinema studies angles, but also fun jokes. And that is also produced and edited by Rob Schulte.
Woo!
It is. And I have a blast doing both of them. It's been great.
I have a blast coming on this show. So
Thanks, thank you for having me. We truly appreciate it. Yeah, we really do. It's been a great episode. I guess we'll see you the next time we start a season. Well, what's up, Britt?
Well, there's going to be a couple things.
Oh, we got a couple of things.
We'll tease
That's
the next
right.
episode.
We do.
Who's going to be on the next episode?
Tease me. Yeah.
I think on the next episode.
His name starts with an A.
Oh, yeah. His name is Alan McLeod. You may know him as Molasses Boy from the Doughboys podcast or from the show You're the Worst.
Wow.
He's also been on Junk History.
Yes, he has.
And talking about history.
That's true.
And we'll be covering Wings.
An episode of Wings.
Not Chicken Wings, the show, the TV show. I made that mistake. I Googled it and I was really confused. I was like, hot sauce?
Watching these wings get cooked. If you would like to support our show, you can go to patreon.com/pinkjeans. That's where you can see all the bonus episodes that Brittany and I make.
About social media.
And if you go to social media, use that hashtag pinkjeans. Or you go to the Instagram account, TV Show Show.
The TV show.
Got it. I'm on it.
JK.
It's one season later. We're one season wiser. Thank you all.
I'm one season dumber.
That makes sense.